This is the room. This is our home church. How many of you have been going to this church all your life? Raise your hand. If this is the only church you've ever attended all your life, raise your hand. And I see some hands in here. Isn't that amazing when you look around and you see those hands? How many of you have been going to any church just about all your life? Look at those hands. And there are some of you where church is a new thing. But I want to say the song that we're singing is in the room, and this is the room that it's talking about. It's talking about where the presence of God is. And the Holy Spirit comes and worships with us. You hear about it all the time. It's real. God's presence comes to the church. How many of you remember you couldn't come up here and play around on the pulpit? You couldn't touch anything up there because it was supposed to be holy? Well, you know, almost anything can be holy now. Your cell phone can be holy because your Bible's in there, right? How many of you have your Bible app in there? We've discussed that in school, like what's really holy. Well, I'm going to tell you, God is holy, and this Sabbath day is holy. God created it, he blessed it, and he hallowed it. He made it holy. And when we come to church, we're doing what God asked us to do. There is a blessing in coming to church. There is something that happens to you spiritually when you come to church. You don't want to stop coming to church, because when you stop coming to church, there's so many blessings that you're missing out on. There's so many things, that testimonies and different things that people can say that can encourage you during the week when you're going through trials. So when God is in the room, when God's presence is here, it's a very important thing. And that's what this song is talking about, when God is in the room.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Can you see the flow of glory? Can you feel his warm embrace? He's got a blessing for me and a miracle for you. Without a doubt, I know God is in the room. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Can you see the flow of glory? Can you feel his grace? He's got a blessing for me and a miracle for you. Without a doubt, I know God is in the room.
He's moving.
He's well. He's lifting up, down, heads, taking away the gloom. He's in the room. I know that it's true. Without a doubt, I know God is in the room.
Walking down.
He's walking down the aisle. He's moving in the pews. He's lifting up, down, heads, taking away the gloom. He's in the room. I know that it's true.
I brought him.
He's in the room. He's in the room. you bring him with you.
One more time.
He's in the room. He's in the room. He's in the room. I brought him with me.
I brought him with me.
I brought him with me. I brought him with me. I brought him with me.
I brought him.
I brought him with me.
One more. I brought him.
I brought him with me. Tell me, did you bring him with you?
Testing, testing. Can you hear me? All right, that sounds a little better. Hello, hello. All right, praise God. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Well, I'm excited. And, you know, it's been a good week. And so far, I want to take you guys through the book of Luke. You guys have your Bibles with you? Okay, praise God. Because we're going through Quizarama. Quizarama, the theme is the book of Luke. And you guys can still hear me through the walls. Now, as we're going through the book of Luke, I want you guys to think of questions to ask us as a team. Because we don't know what Mrs. Mackey is going to come up with. So we need all the questions that we can get. And, you know, that book is very powerful. And the reason why is because it was written by a person who wanted all the details of the story. Now, before I get really into it, let me pray. Let me pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I just ask that your spirit will be upon us, Lord. Just ask that you would speak through me, Lord, as we get into this powerful, powerful word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, as I set up, you know, the book of Luke, he was written by this physician. His name is Luke. If you go to Colossians 4, verse 14, it tells us that Luke was a physician. And you know, one thing about physicians is that, of course, you have to be very smart. You have to have a good memory to think about all these different tasks you have to come up with. And you can kind of tell that from the very first verse of the book of Luke. because he was into the details. Now, I want you to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1, and it says this. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Now, from here, we can kind of tell that he wants to get the best document of the Gospels, because there was a lot of people who were writing about the Gospels. There was a lot of people who was writing articles and, you know, giving their own testimonies, telling people, yeah, this is what I heard, this is what I read, this is what I saw of my own eyes. So he decided to get all these testimonies together. And he's writing to this guy named Theophilus. Now, does this sound like a Jewish name or a Roman name? A Roman, or more so a Grecian name. Now, the Grecian minds, they were more intellectual. They like to think about, you know, the philosophy of things, and they rather listen to a person's teachings than a person's actions, because that's what it was all about, the philosophy. So we find that in the book of Luke, he gives more details to the story of Jesus' teachings. And not only that, because he was a physician, he looked at things through a physician's eyes. You know, I'm a cinematographer, so I look at things from a cinematographer's eyes. If you're an architect, you look at things from an architectural mind. Luke, he writes from a physician's mind. Now, I can just imagine that this kid, this Luke, as he grew up, you know, eventually he saw, you know, harm, he saw pain, he saw people suffer, and had this desire to see people become whole again. And, you know, that's pretty much, I would say, sums up the heart of a physician, is to see a person whole again. It's like seeing a very expensive vase or glass just fall on the floor, and you think, oh man, you know how much that cost? And you just want to see it come back together again. You want to piece it back together. Because when you see a person with a broken leg, it looks hideous. It looks weird. It's like, this is not how it's supposed to be. It's broken. When you see a person with a demented mind, you think, no, it's not supposed to be like that. Split personalities, you think, man, there is something wrong with this picture. And in fact, you already have this intrinsic understanding that there was a perfect picture. And because we're broken, there's evidence that there was a fall. And because of that fall, we have all been shattering in this brokenness. So we find Luke, he's writing about, you know, this reality, and that there's this powerful person who not only could, you know, teach, but who can heal. Now, have you ever had that feeling where you see someone just like they're down and out, and you just want to heal them? You just want to just touch them, just go. You just want to bless them. No matter how messed up they are, you just really want to heal them. You know, I had this experience just this past week. I think, this Wednesday, actually. I was driving, and as I was driving down on Vernon Street, I saw this dog just naively walking across the street, or kind of jogging, and he just passes this one car. I was like, no, and then he walks in front of a SUV, and then pow! Then he flips, he spins like four times underneath the car, and the car just flies right past him. And the person doesn't even slow down, he just keep on going. Perhaps by guilt or something, he didn't want to turn back. So then instantly, I just turned to the side, got out my car, and just ran to the dog, stopped the traffic, and then I was like, dang, man, what if I see guts? But you know what? I was like, I don't care. I want to see this dog live. So I looked to the dog even closer, and I began to see his mouth just dripping with blood. It just started pouring onto the concrete. Then my mind was like, Justin, just give up. He's a goner. And I was like, Then I'm like, but he's a dog, though. I'm like, no, so what? I want him to live. So I picked him up, carried him across the street, and then laid him on the sidewalk. And I'm just there like, come on, man. You just can't give up on me. You just can't. Come on, Jesus. Please, God. God, please. Jesus. And then next thing you know it, see, twitch. Then he starts to look up, and you know, you can tell he was in pain because his eyes was cockeyed. He was like, and he started looking up at me, and when he's looking at me, I can tell, I can just read everything that's in his eye. He's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm your savior. And then he's just like, oh. And I can see him just kind of turn his head, and his face was just, he got hit really hard. I mean, really hard. That I can tell he's just kind of biting his lip, like, oh, so much blood in my mouth. And he's just there. And then I'm like, okay, just wait right there. Because I left my phone in my car. So I ran back to my car, and I'm getting my phone, and I'm thinking, man, I got to call 911. They don't take dogs in the hospital. Why? But that's kind of wrong. I would really need a dog, right? Dog hospital. I can't think of a, I don't know the hotline for the veterinarians right now. And I was like, well, I don't know. What if Brother Canton is, he knows something about dogs. No, I don't know. I mean, I assume too much. But then as I was getting closer, I was like, I saw him getting up. And as he's getting up, he's just trying to figure out where he at. And then he starts stepping on, he's on all four now. And he's kind of walking like kind of sideways like this because his side, I mean, he must have broke his spine. And so I was like, wait, don't. Then I started coming to him like, no, come to me. Because now, after I saved this dog, I wanted to keep him. I really wanted to keep this dog. And I was just thinking, man, I'm going to take this dog and put it in my wife's car. She's going to be mad at me, but we're going to get over it, and then we're going to love this dog, and so on. And see, the thing about me is, I don't like dogs, really. I love cats. Dogs, nah. And I have a good reason for it. You know, I saw this dog. I was staying at this family's house, and I saw this dog. It ate its own poop. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. And then I told the owners, the dog ate poop. I mean, after the dog licked their face, I'm like, and she's like, no, they don't do that. I'm like, there's no hope for you. So after that, I always think about that. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I don't want to think about maybe he did it when I was not looking and he licks me. So I always had that feeling. I always had that apprehension for dogs. And but all that went away when I saved that dog, when I decided that dog should live and also live with me. But then as I come up closer to him, he starts running away. And he starts running away like, I don't know who you are. And he starts heading towards the street again. Then I'm like, no, wait, chill. No, okay. And I'm like, and he still keeps running away. And then every now and then, you know, he would give me this look. Then, you know, I'm just like on my knees. I'm just like, come on. He gets further and further. But then eventually, I can see him. He does this. And I just, you know, God interpreted it for me. Basically, he was saying, I don't know who you are, but thank you. And then and then I was like, you're welcome. Seek me when you can find me. And then I go back to my car, and I'm just there thinking like, oh, man, that was such an emotional moment for just the dog. And I'm just thinking, man, that just kind of remind me of the kingdom of heaven. just kind of reminded me of how God, he saw us dead in the future. As he was driving down the highways of time, he saw us down on the ground, laid out because of sin. And he didn't just stay there. He got out of glory, stepped out his glory car, and then went down through, stopped traffic and time, went through Mary's womb, and then came out as a man to just touch us. And then pick us up again, to revive us. And the thing is, God knows us so much. He knows that he can't force us. So, like that dog who is just ignorantly running from his own Savior, we sometimes run away from God like, I don't know about this church. I don't know about this Bible, but I'm going to run back into the street. So God is like, okay, I'll back up. I saved you, but I'll back up. And, you know, we find that same story throughout the book of Luke, how Jesus, he comes to sinners. And the thing is, I can imagine, you know, I kind of think about this all the time. When I find people who are just struck out, hurt, just different, and I meet them in the street, and I'm like, okay, I should take them to the hospital, or I should take them to the church. Oh, wait. I don't think the church take this type of person. Man, they kind of, they might treat him like a dog. I don't know. And then I thought about it. I'm like, man, have I done that? Where I treat people like dogs, and God has to hesitate not to take people near this church. But God has to hesitate to take people near you, because you're not going to treat them like a valued, loved person. So we find in the book of Luke, we find Jesus, he's hanging out with sinners just like us. And notice this, return to Luke chapter 4. Jesus just stands up and he begins to preach, and he, you know, tells everyone his mission. Luke chapter 4, verse 17, it says this, "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.'" And this is my favorite part. Then it says that he closed the book, gave it again to the ministers, sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue was fastened on him. So I just like how Jesus just did that like a G. You know, he just, yes, I'm the Messiah. Then it continues on. It says, as everyone was looking at him saying, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" Jesus, he's like, "Yeah, I know you're looking at me." Then he says this, "Surely it will be said unto me, 'Physician, heal thyself. Won't you do the works that you have done in Capernaum over here?'" And of course, we're going to find out that really that's what they eventually started saying, because Jesus could not do miracles in his own place. He could not, because their lack of faith. So they're like, "Physician, heal yourself. Why don't you take care of your own land? Why don't you take care of your own body?" And then Jesus, he says this thing. He goes on, he explains that, you know, there was many sick people in Israel. There were many lepers, but they did not go to the prophet. In fact, Naaman had to do cross country just to find his prophet, which shows, man, how much we value the truth that we do have. Some people who don't have this truth will fly across the world just to hear this, while we just can't, you know, we can't go through rain for this. So You know, Jesus clearly says, he says, man, a prophet is not honored in his own country. And then after this, throughout the story, you know, we find Jesus, he goes out through all these adventures and he starts healing the sick. I mean, his first thing, and from 33 to 37, I mean, this, as he's teaching in the synagogue, a man who has an unclean spirit or unclean devil cried out saying, "Let us alone," verse 34, "let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out." Okay, this is beautiful. Watch this. And the fame of him went out into every place in the country. Now, let me remind you, you know, angels are like, they're really tall. They're these huge beings. And also, fallen angels, they're pretty huge. Now, just imagine this huge being, perhaps 12 feet, 20 feet, who knows. You know, somehow they figured out some way to manipulate the human mind, because if you lose your mind, you better find it before someone finds it, the devil. So, you know, somehow they controlled it. And you would expect to find this demon in the club somewhere. You expect to find him somewhere else, not in the synagogue. But he says, "Let us alone. Like, leave this whole church alone. This is mine. I was comfortable until you came." And, you know, sometimes we don't want the word to just make us uncomfortable. We get mad. We start pushing people when they make us uncomfortable. So these demons are like, "Leave us alone. There's too many demons in this church, and we want to have peace here. And we know who you are." Like, they're not supposed to, but. So notice this. There's these big, huge beings. Now let's go to the next story. Then, verse 38, it says, "And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother," or Simon's mother-in-law, "was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately he arose and ministered unto them." Now, this is so cool. Lord just, you know, gave this imagination to me, and I just saw it. And so he just, with authority, tells this demon, "Be quiet." And this huge demon, I mean, just burly, like, "Leave us alone."
Okay.
And he tells him to just get out of here. He leaves. This huge person. Now, the next thing, he goes to Simon's house, and he rebukes a fever. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'm thinking, what? How do you rebuke a fever? Those are germs and stuff. Those are viruses. How do you rebuke viruses? So this was to show the extent of his authority from high to the very microscopic. Like, can you just imagine? Jesus just says, "Stop it," to the fever. And all those little fever germs, this is my impression of germs, you know, they're just going around inside the stomach. Then they hear, "Stop it." Ooh, I'm sorry. I'll die if I can. And then he says, "Go." And of course they all just all start leaving. And they come out through the sweat glands and all that. Jesus commanded a fever to stop, just go. That's how much authority Jesus has. So when people hear about that, I mean, people from every side of the country begin to come to him. It says in verse 40, "Now when the sun was setting, all that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out, many crying, saying, Thou art the Christ, and he rebuked them, suffering them not to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. So, his fame blew up so fast. People from all across town, they didn't care what time it was. The sun was setting. It was setting. And, you don't want to be out at night. You want to be home getting ready to sleep. But there, can you just imagine all these people like, this is my last, I don't know when I'm going to get another opportunity, but I heard the great physician is now here that sympathizing Jesus. Do y'all guys, have it? You know that song? Y'all know, the great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. Oh, y'all don't know that one? He speaks the drooping heart to cheer. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Sweetest note on seraph's song. Sweetest name on mortal's tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. You guys never heard that song? Man, you guys haven't been long, having this long enough. Man, that song is deep. Now, just imagine, Jesus, the great physician, comes out, and they got no insurance. This is their only opportunity to get rid of their leprosy, get rid of their diseases. Now, when you actually have a real disease and you know you can't get rid of it, you're not going to stop until you find a cure. You're going to be really desperate. And sometimes we think that our sin is curable. That's why we're not trying to, that's why we're not so desperate. We think we can deal with it. Oh, this is just a cough. It's not a problem. Until it gets so bad that we can't move. So these people, they're like desperate. They're trying to get to Jesus, and they're all being healed all night long. And there's stories like this all over throughout this book. And it gets to the point where Jesus is just hanging out with all these people, not just healing them, but he's also building relationships with them. And then if we jump to chapter 5, verse 27, he meets Levi, another disciple, and it says, after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. Now, the problem is that he was a publican. He was like a tax collector, and he was a tax collector for Rome. And Rome was subjugating Israel. Now, basically, they saw all those publicans as traitors. That's like a person who's working for ISIS, up in here. Now, how would you treat that person? Now, this guy, he's working, and Jesus just finds him. Looks past all that, looked at him. He didn't look at his job. He didn't look at, what he was wearing, what he was doing. He looked at Levi and says, follow me. So then Levi took him to a party in his own house, a great feast. And it says, Levi made him at a great feast in his own house, verse 29. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. It says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Then Jesus said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And that's a beautiful thing. Jesus was a humble physician, and he understood that he didn't come here just to hang out with people who are just like him. He actually came to minister to people. And, sometimes we come to church thinking that we just come out to find people just like us. No, you came to lift people up. You came to not the whole, you came to find, to fix people, help God, let God use you. And, I had a bad experience back way back when I was young with a doctor, a physician, one of those nurses at my mom's job. This is just one of those special days. I don't recall why I didn't have to go to school that day. Maybe I faked sick or something. But, like, I didn't have to go to school that day, and my mom took me to her job. And I was, like, excited. I was happy. I was like, yeah, I get to go on the train. Oh, we're going to Roosevelt Hospital. And my mom, she worked as a housekeeper. Basically, she cleans the hospital. And, you know, I respect my mom for that because, I mean, we eat every day. You know, I didn't see her as anything else but, you know, my hero. So, you know, she's doing that. And I guess this is just one of those casual times when I'm just playing around. I'm like maybe 7 or 8, playing around with my toy plane that I just made up, and just flying. And, you know, my mom, she's just perhaps in the background. And I catch a glimpse as she's like kind of mopping. She picks up something, and I guess her leg almost touched this physician, and I think she must have been touched or something, but she looked back, and she gave this look like, and then when I saw that, I was just hurt. I'm like, how are you going to look down on my mom like that? Like, really? That's my mother. How are you going to look down on someone I look up to? And then I was just like, man, adults are not adults. They're still children. I did not expect that. And I was so disillusioned by that. And she did not realize that I was there that was hurt. Not only that, but the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, the first thing that God hates is a proud look. A proud look. And you know, there's times when I brought people to the hospital of God. And I've brought someone who's, you know, obviously not used to church. And I've seen, you know, elders or just people who are just used to how church is. Just look across the pew like, I mean, gave them a long stare. Young boy, you know you're not supposed to be wearing that. And I was so scared. I'm like, man, don't do that yet. Don't do that. Unless he's your grandchild, maybe. But, like, and I was just thinking, man. And sometimes, sometimes we think that, like, we can just get away with this stuff. Like, a proud look. These things actually hurt people. Not only hurt people, but it actually offends God. And the thing is, it also offends Jesus because these are the people that Jesus died for. The Bible says that Jesus, he left to, the Bible says that he left to heal the, can we get a physician here? Can we get a physician real quick? Wait, can we get those physicians real quick? Can you just, and you guys need to carry him.
Okay, we got some.
Take him to the table real quick. Yeah, get some. Yeah. What happened to him? Looks like you know, this is us sometimes. Y'all was scared, right? Y'all was scared. Nah, I needed this to get your attention. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we just pass out. We just pass out and just leave people there. But, you know, God, he has his ministering angels. Now, just picture these are God's angels here ministering to the needs of us. And we have eaten a fruit that has poisoned us. Not just poisoned us, but it's given us cancer into our very DNA. The Bible says that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So we have this sin nature where we are just decrepit and just ready to die already. And the thing is, the amazing thing is that God, he keeps on trying to pump us alive. He keeps on trying to keep us alive. And he sends his angels out there to get us ready. And as we're, is he alive? The truth. Come on, can you just try harder? I mean, this man is obviously, he has some life in him. He has some spirituality. Come on, breathe a little prayer in him. He may rise again. Do something. I don't know if you've ever been through this experience where you want somebody to come back to life, but they're not coming back. I don't know if you have this experience where you want somebody to be saved, but they're not trying to be saved. They're not trying to respond. I don't know if you have this experience where you're doing all you can, but they're not responding to the gospel. And it seems like it's just you might as well lose hope, but you keep on trying, and you keep on trying. And it's like God is not answering your prayer. And God is looking at us every day, and he's constantly trying to breathe life back into us. And we're not responding. As I preach, people just continue to live on as a dead person. And the Bible says, "For we were dead in sin and in transgression." And that's this man here. We're trying to revive him. It seems like he's not trying to. I don't know. I think that's his heart. Come on. We might come back to life. Come on, Jacob. Come on. Respond to the gospel. No. Stay there. And you know, this is not. This happens all the time. This actually happens all the time. You know, the Bible talks about how we were dead, and you know, the way you guys are looking at this is like, really? This is how the angels look at us every time. This is how they see us all the time. Some people who were born and raised in church, actually born again, then they die again. And they're trying their best to raise us. They're trying. Do we have like that, what do you call that, the liberator? Do we find something? Maybe we can get some hymns or something. Let me find another hymn book in the house to revive him. Maybe that would work. Let me get something. Is this a hymn? I think so. Well, maybe both of these, a combination of both. Make the word clear.
Clear.
Make the word clear. Come on, do you hear anything yet?
We got something.
Still dead. Make the word clear.
Clear.
I don't know. There's nothing else we can do. We may just have to let him go. I'm just gonna have to tell the Father that we can't rescue this one. There's no one we can. I'm just gonna have to tell the parents of tell the parents that we couldn't save him. We tried our best. We preached every sermon.
No.
We played every song in the song book. We took him to all the revivals, but he.
Tell me that he's okay. Please.
He's not okay.
Please.
I don't know what we can do, but we can't do anything for him because I looked all over him. Look, we're working with the best. We have angels here. We even have men.
Get somebody else, another doctor.
He needs another heart. His heart is so hardened that we can't fix it. Look, you have to understand, we can try to transplant his heart, but there's no man on earth that can do it. I'm sorry. I'm just going to have to... I have one more person that I can ask.
Yes, please, whoever, anyone, I'll do anything, please.
I can ask the administrator if he has, because he knows all things.
Yes, please, get him.
He knows all things, and he knows everyone that's in the universe that he can pick to do a transplant.
Yes, where is he? What's his name?
Because there's no one that has the blood, a clean blood for him. Let me go.
I'll do anything.
We'll talk to the Father. I'll talk to the Father real quick. And I'll see what he says. And as you're there, wondering what's happening next, that's exactly the feeling the angels went through when they saw a man fall. They didn't see anyone in heaven that can save man. Some of the angels offered to give themselves for man, but there was no one that was worthy. There was no one that had what was needed. So the Father gave back an answer. And it was an answer that no one actually wanted to hear. Angels, can you help me with this? This is what the Father has, this is what he's willed. The Father said that he has one person. He has one person left. One person left. The Father, I don't know how to tell the angels this. But the Father said he has one person.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes, where do we go? How much is it?
It's free.
Okay.
But it's the only begotten. Uh-huh. His only begotten son.
What?
He says his blood can actually save. And
wait, he's gonna give his son?
Yeah, this.
What? I don't.
His son. His son, he volunteered, and you're looking at him, wondering why he's so young. It's because he never ages. He's the Rock of Ages, and he's innocent. He didn't deserve this, but he decided to lay down his life. Angels, help me. Let me raise him. One of you guys. You take one arm. I take the other. Raise him like this. All right. Can you bring in the fuser? We need to transfer some blood. I can hear the heartbeat of the Son. And as he's, his heart is beating, we need us to go on the cross. With this there, we need us to hang. This one's going to drip. I can just hear the Son suffering the pain of the world.
It hurts, Father. It hurts.
Yeah. God.
Turn the lights off.
You can just.
Earth, turn off the lights. Sun, refuse to shine. Turn off the lights.
And as the Son refused to shine,
turn the light down. No one should look at him in this state. Turn down the light.
Let's take him off.
All the lights, turn them down.
The world did not realize that God loved the world so much that he would give his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved us so much that he decided to trade his Son's life for sinners like us. And as I look at the description, I see an adulterer. I see one who does not fear God. I see one who lusts. I see one who lies. I see one who curses. I see one who steals. I see all these sins on this person. And I can say, we should just let this man die. But I look at this Son and I say, how can we give him up? And God said, I love them. I love them. I love them. And this is the only way. Because my Son has the only solution in his blood. The only cure. There's no balm in Gilead. There's no balm, no healing on earth. The healing comes straight from God in heaven. So as the blood, as I can hear the blood transfusing, raise this. It's the blood. Trans over. The great physician in the book of Luke decided not to heal himself, but to heal us. The sympathizing Jesus. And I think, wait, do you hear that? I think his heart is coming back. You hear that? But how come I still hear the heart beating in the, but it's because it seems like the Son died, but there's still heart. There's a heartbeat. He's dead here, but the reason why it's still beating, because the Son transferred his life, his heartbeat, to us. So though he's dead, he lives in our heart, and he kept on breathing life in us continually. And what's going on? Life is coming back. He's coming back. Resurrection. This is the resurrection. This is the hope of glory. The just died for the unjust. You're born again. You're born again. Drink some of that water. Spirit. Water. And this is the gospel. That God laid down his own begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But the story doesn't end there. The sad thing is, we have to carry him to the tomb, to the morgue. I need help. And I just can't imagine the devastation to the graveyard. Just can't imagine the devastation that the angels saw when they looked at Jesus' lifeless body. And the angels saw men. The Bible talks about how there were men of old who resurrected. They resurrected as a sign that the transfer was successful. But yet, Jesus was still dead. You know? And the disciples, they were just so just disturbed by that. They were hiding. They were scared to even be outside. They didn't want to die too. But you know, that Sabbath must have been like the most miserable Sabbath in the universe. To watch their own creator lay in the tomb. But can we get the lights on? When the sun began to rise from east to west, the sun began to rise. And I could just see angels just coming. And as they're flying towards earth, they said, Jesus, your father calls you. Risen again. Yeah. Alive forevermore. Because death could not hold him. Yeah. See, the thing is, Jesus has the cure for everything. Death has the kill for almost everything. It does not have the cure against Jesus. Yeah. Nothing has a cure against God. So God could not be held down. He was like cancer, a reviving cancer to death. Death cannot hold down Jesus. So he got back up. Just took a little rest, a little Sabbath rest. And he came back. And he's not finished. He's still doing that with each of our lives. These tubings that connects the blood to us is prayer. You can receive that blood today. You can receive salvation today. If you find it hard to believe, we understand. It can be hard because sometimes we make things hard. But if you just take the simple step and just believe. Jesus says you will have everlasting life. Realize that you are those leopards. You are those sick people who are dying. Who are literally dying mentally, being controlled by demons. And you need Jesus. You need him today and come to him today. And if you desire to give your life to Jesus, because you know that you're dead in sin and in iniquity, and you want to give your heart to Christ today, come forth. I believe the Lord presented the truth strong enough. If you want to give your life to Christ today, come. Don't be unresponsive like those who God is constantly trying to revive them. Don't worry, come. We all have been there. We all are, some of us are still there. Amen. Amen. We see a life coming back together. We see a heart beating again. And Jesus wants to constantly revive us again. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you want to give your life to Christ, not only just give your life, you want to actually go through the opposite. You want to put to death your old nature, your sinful nature, and become a new man in Christ. You want to have that new blood, that new nature, that new life in Jesus Christ. You can actually sign up for baptism. This is the truth, this is the way, and this is the life. And that is Jesus Christ. If that's you, come forth. Come forth. Amen. Amen. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We all need Jesus. And if you might have given your life to Christ, you might have lived, and you might have been born again. But if you have died again, and you want to revive yourself by giving yourself to Christ, come forth. I have to do it every day. I have to do it every day. Because there's times when I feel like that dog that keeps running back into the street getting hit. But God wants to keep on reviving you. He wants to keep on reviving you. Is there anyone else? Now, I want everyone else to stand up. I want everyone else to stand up. And I want you to put your hands forward. And just imagine the tubing of blood, of grace, of love is just coming out from your hands and to all of us. And we're pouring down grace right now. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. You've given your life for us. We didn't deserve this. We should have just stayed in that street. We should have just got what we deserve. But you gave your innocent, only begotten Son that we may have life. Lord, you know the history of everyone here. You know all those who, well, we all belong in hell. You know those who belong in the hottest part of hell. But Lord, you want them to be at the greatest heights of heaven. And if they are still waiting and they're still just waiting for a good opportunity, Lord, I pray that you'll tell them that you can't promise them that there'll be a better day. Because today is the day of salvation. Lord, I just pray that you will continue to tug on that person's heart. Lord, pour down grace on us, Lord. Pour down that blood. Wash all our sins away. Wash all our sins away. Take out this cancer in our hearts. Take out this stony heart of ours and give us a heart of flesh, Lord. Lord, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us. Now, Lord, we believe. Now help us with our unbelief. Thank you for the cure. The great physician, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.